I don't know about you, but apparently some people are looking forward to commercials today. Does anyone do that? Anyone like to watch the commercials? Okay. I know any probably similar number of people that when they watch the Super Bowl, as soon as the commercials come on, the mute button is hit. Right? Some people also, I understand, can't stand particular commentators. And so they will mute the TV commentators, and then they will have their own set of commentators playing. Have you heard that? No? Yeah, right? Okay, I was thinking maybe this was maybe the people that I know are just a small group. But the commercials, certainly, everybody knows that there are annoying commercials, right? There's a particular commercial that annoys me. It's by Harrisburg Freight Warehouse. I mean, you heard that. We often watch the Harrisburg ABC station. And the guy, you might want to shield your ears a little bit. The whole entire commercial is like this. Harrisburg Freight, 1-800-522-2222. And it's like, oh, it just kind of grates on my nerves. Every time, I still remember the number though. Yeah. I was thinking about that. The stupid phone number. If I really was in an emergency, that number would probably come up in my head. Like after 911 and a couple other important numbers, the number for Harrisburg Freight would probably pop up in my head. Oh, it's just crazy. Why is that? Why do we pay attention to large voices like that? Interestingly, the words that God says to Isaiah are scream, prophet, scream. Yeah, if you read it literally, that's what God is saying to the prophet. I want my people to hear this. Pay attention is another set of words that usually grabs us. Preachers and their messages, lights and baskets, those seem to be our themes for today. And I could not possibly overestimate the importance of this section in the Gospel of Matthew for us as disciples. There's just no way I could overestimate it. You understand what I mean by that, right? If you want to read a section of the Gospel of Matthew and understand the significance of discipleship and ministry for us, it is right here in chapter 5. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." It's a little bit heartwarming for me, however, knowing the significance of these words, to also recognize the voice of Paul. You're not supposed to preach about all three texts, and I'm not really going to do that, but it still strikes me a bit to hear Paul say, "I came to you as one with an uncomfortable voice. I came trembling and nervous. Dare I confess to you that week after week, I wonder if my message will reach you. I wonder if the words that I say will be inspiring. And I wonder week after week if I should quit my day job." Paul seems to get this. Preachers get this. We always feel like maybe we're just not quite saying it right enough, loud enough, clear enough, or with approximately 3.2 illustrations. Maybe I should be using a screen. Maybe we should have a praise band. Maybe we should change all sorts of things that we're doing. But then I think about Jesus' words, and I feel a little better. Do you know what's the main connecting piece between salt and light? Your mom probably told you this at the kitchen table. A little bit goes a long way, right? You don't need a lot of salt. You don't need a lot of light. scientists and nutritionists are always trying to tell us this same thing. We can see stars from the other end of our galaxy. We can see a single candle from very long distances. A tiny pinch of salt is all it takes to flavor some food. And don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying. Salt that doesn't taste like salt is not salt. Y'all understand that, right? Chemically, it's not possible for salt to be anything except salt, just as much as it's not possible for light to be anything but light. But light gets a little bit more attention from Jesus because he recognized that while salt, we might get a little bit confused if it gets wet somehow and its saltiness gets dissolved or ruined in some way. Light, the only thing that we can do with light is to shield it, to hold it back, to hoard it. This is a powerful message for us as modern Christians, isn't it? We cannot hoard our saltiness or our light. But we still might wonder, what does it mean to say that Jesus glops us in with the likes of a bin of earthly crystals? What does it mean to think of being looped together with some burning oil? A process for requiring sight. Are we really supposed to be something that flavors and shines upon anything? Can any one of us really be considered salty enough or light enough for God's work? I know I sure don't feel like I am. I already confessed to you that I feel like many times I step towards this pulpit, I wonder if my words will have much value. In a very good movie, Shakespeare in Love, there's a couple very amazing scenes related to speaking and the message. I don't know if you've seen the movie or not, but basically the backstory is the story behind Romeo and Juliet, the writer of the movie thinks, was Shakespeare in his life. And Shakespeare falls in love. But in the process of that whole falling in love, he's also writing a play, Romeo and Juliet. And kind of as everything is reaching the climax or the story's problem, the play doesn't look like it's going to happen at all. And in the whole host of things that is going wrong with the play, including the falling out of who might actually be able to play Juliet, the narrator, one of the big important roles that starts off the story, that sets the tone for the audience. The whole time they've been practicing, they couldn't really get a good narrator because, of course, the really good theater was across the road. So they got a second-class narrator. And even when they were practicing, he would stutter a little bit. And Shakespeare remarked, "We're going to have a narrator that stutters." And the manager told him, "Oh, no, it'll be okay." Well, when it came to the day of the show, his tongue was tied in the worst sense. And if you know and love anyone that has dealt with speech impediments or stuttering, you know how crippling and horrible and fearsome that could become. Your mind becomes your own battleground where you want to be able to speak, but the words don't come out. You could see it on his face. It looked as though the show would not start at all because the narrator couldn't begin. And then at the last moment, the narrator is thrust onto the stage. And there's kind of a pause as he seeks to kind of wrestle his tongue into working. And then like water breaking a dam, he bursts out the opening words. Two families, And the audience is grappled into his voice. And he continues with elegance and eloquence that even impressed Shakespeare himself, hiding in the wings. I guess my question with all this, thinking about those illustrations between Harrisburg Freight and Shakespeare in Love, is do we even know who we are? Do you know that you can't be somebody else? You can't be unsalty in the eyes of Jesus. You can't be darkness to Jesus. And you can't hide your light to the world. Do you know who you are? And do you know that public ministry is not just a suggestion? It's required. The privatizing of our faith is not allowed. This is something that we as American Christians have simply gotten wrong. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, the hallmark of Christianity is the extraordinary. The life described in the Beatitudes, the city set on the hill, the way of self-renunciation, of utter love, of absolute purity, truthfulness, and meekness. It is unreserved love for our enemies, for the unloving and the unloved. Love for our religious, political, and personal adversaries. It is the love of Jesus Christ himself. It is not possible for us to be anything except extraordinary in the eyes of Jesus. We are extraordinary to Jesus. Don't think that salt or light are unnecessary or unexciting. To Jesus, they prove to us, those descriptors, salt of the earth and light of the world, that we are both ordinary and extraordinary. For who among us could imagine our life without salt or light? And one more final word, also from Dietrich Bonhoeffer again. Sorry, but he wrote an entire book on discipleship. He says, the extraordinary, and this is the supreme scandal, is something which the followers of Jesus do. It must be done so that all can see it. It is not some eccentric pattern of Christian living, but simple, unreflecting obedience to the will of Christ. If we make the extraordinary our standard, we shall be led into the passion of Christ, and its peculiar quality will be displayed through us. Amen. Let it shine, brothers and sisters.